Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze. Whoa.
Now, Spotify is going to have to pay for that money for that.
I'm sure they own the Stephen Chris Chapman entire catalog.
Are we moving right past the cold open? Like, is that what's happening?
I felt like we had it.
So this is the besties show about. I feel like if we just keep pounding it forward, Russ, the look of disgust on your face.
It's not disgust. I'm flashing forward to the future where 16 people at Spotify listen to this and they're like, no, we'll find a way to kill the contract. It's fine.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I used to be a gamer.
My name is Griffin McElroy. I'm the original Nintendo man.
My name is Chris Plant, and I'm an October baby.
My name is Rose. Wait, you're an October baby too?
Yeah, of course.
Two October babies. October baby number two right here, Russ Frostick.
The idea? Okay, this is the besties. It is ostensibly a show about video games. This week, we're going to discuss a video game, but first, I need to talk about the very important news that decades-long friends, Russ and Chris Plan, did not know that they shared a birth month.
In hindsight, now I remember.
I 100% knew, and I feel wrecked.
it's kind of coming back to me now that I think about it. October 15th, I want to say? 19?
No.
19?
No.
Keep it going.
What's fucked up is you're both wearing these tourmaline pendants to represent your birthstone, and yet you're not, like, that wasn't enough of a clue.
This week on The Besties, we are going to be talking about a new Star Wars game from Respawn. It is a character action Star Wars game, I think probably analogous to the closest kin would be Star Wars The Force Unleashed 1 and 2, starring, do you guys remember the name of the lead of that?
Oh god,
Starkiller.
He had like a shaved Starkiller head. He was very handsome.
Starkiller, of course, was the original last name of Luke Skywalker, and they changed it because it sounded, anyway, so this is Jedi Fallen Order. It is a game that I have not seen described anywhere without mashing up the other games that it is attempting to emulate. And
sure,
I will carry on this proud tradition by reducing the work of hundreds
It's convenient because now we, four game critics, can say shit like it's the Dark Souls of Star Wars games. And in this case, be pretty justified because that is one of the three sort of big umbrellas that they tried to put the game under.
It is blending Star Wars,
yeah,
and Dark Souls and Uncharted in some of the like sort of traversal. Dark Souls, I would say, think more structurally. I mean, it's really the Dark Souls stuff really doesn't extend beyond
when enemies respawn when you checkpoint, and yeah.
Well, it's hard. It's also like the combat can be hard at times.
Sure. I just should clarify up top that as far as blending goes, it's probably around Terry Crews blending Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. It's a mediocre blended.
Okay.
It's not a great blend of any of these things, I would say.
Let's get it. I want to save the critical analysis until we've established the... Let's
What's
establish
the story, Justin?
So it's about a. It takes place like 5 years after the original prequel, the prequel trilogy, the original three films, Star Wars 1, 2, and 3.
Not the original three films. I think you could say the first in
so
the timeline.
Yeah, the prequels trilogy. 5 years after the
Which
prequel
episode?
Trilogy. before. So this would be between 3 and 4, closer to 3, I believe, before Rogue One, if that helps to time it out. So the Empire is like really getting their claws into the galaxy, and it's all very bad. You are sort of a Jedi in hiding named Cal, and you are entrusted with a mission to get together like a list of Force-sensitive humanoids, I guess, or you know, Force-sensitive beings across the galaxy. I haven't gotten the list yet, so I don't know. It's kind of
there
like
might
the,
be do- there might be dogs on it, is what you're suggesting. There could be force dogs.
This is the end goal of the game, as I understand it, is to get this list of Force-sensitive people and basically start rebuilding the Jedi Order, which has fallen, as it's we have established.
Like, it's like Blues Brothers, essentially, but for Jedi.
Yes. Yeah. Because they're getting the band back together, is what he's saying.
Right.
But
oh, okay.
You're right. Action wise, you are getting like a lot of traversal. Mm-hmm. There are like a lot of big scale fights that feel more like an Uncharted game than a like Dark Souls or something in that category.
And we should clarify, when we say traversal, like that Uncharted-style traversal, like you are climbing up the sides of things and jumping between patches of climbable wall and, you know, walking on pipes that you can also drop down from and jumping from rope to rope and wall running. Like it's
it actually felt more to me, although I appreciate like Uncharted does that a lot, you know what it reminded me of was that Prince of Persia game from like 10 years ago where it was just like all wall running, like everywhere you went was
it's
like
a little bit more fluid like that. Yeah. It's a little bit more like free form and less like insert tab A into slot A kind of deal.
It's like the Titanfall. I mean, it's Respawn made Titanfall 2, and it's that same level of like mobility.
Force powers, you're not expected looking at anything wild. I think I've just gotten the last one, and it's just the force powers you would expect. You got your push, you got your pull, you got your slow. I haven't gotten lightning or choke or any of the bad boy stuff yet. You know, the bad powers that only the bad boys are allowed to have. You know what? If the light side Jedi want to start actually competing with the Sith, they need to get some kick-ass powers that only they get. Because now, if I'm choosing a team and I'm like, they get lightning and choking, what do you all get? And they're like, robes? Like, no, thank you.
I have a question. Force Unleashed, the game that you compared this to up top, right? You, at some point, have enough force power to down a Star Destroyer? Is that right?
You're correct. Okay. That game, the action of that game, as memory serves, and it's been a decade, is very much about, like, waves of enemy. Like, how do you take out like groups of big crowds of enemies using your force powers? Okay, so for me, the reason this is a very competent effort, I would say. It is very
It's the best one of these. It's better than those Force Unleashed games, I feel pretty like qualified to say. Really?
I didn't know that. Those were fun. And
narrative wise, like I think we keep making the Uncharted comparison.
Story wise,
it's better. It's an interesting story. The performances are actually really well captured, I thought, like some decent performances in the story. There's like a couple of folks that travel along with you on your quest, and they're well rendered and well performed, I think. But for me, I think it comes down to a couple of overarching problems. The more I played it, I was like, this is all very competently done, except for the parts that Wicked aren't. There's some technical stuff that is just wild that I don't want to get into, but it's like some stuff where I had to set the controller down and let the environment rebuild around me because there was nowhere to go.
It was like when they loaded the jump program in Matrix. Essentially.
Yes, there's a couple of places like that for sure. But okay, so the problems that the reason I played it, and like it's got a lot of elements. I like Dark Souls. I like Uncharted. Okay. I like Star Wars. Like, why isn't this clicking?
It's also doing Metroidvania light sort of stuff in a way that Batman Arkham series might do.
It does something with Metroidvania. Metroidvania is one of my favorite genres like ever. Like, I love those games. And it does one thing that I've never really seen in a Metroidvania game that I thought was brilliant.
By which Russ means by that is a game that
Gear game.
Gates content by not giving you all the items that you need to,
yeah, like
to do
Super Metroid is an example, or like Symphony of the Night, if you've ever played that.
Like, you can't get past a wall because you don't have a bomb power.
Or like a double jump.
Get the bomb power, exactly. And suddenly you can take a shortcut.
So in this game, usually like one of the mechanics in Metroidvanias is that you're lost and you just sort of stumble around until you find a place that you haven't been yet. And in this, they added, there's like a map. You can see like a 3D map. And the map actually has these like rainbow doors that show you, hey, this is a path you have not been to yet.
Right.
You should check this out. And it's just in terms of like knowing places to go, I thought it was really smart just from a design side.
And it also does a thing which Russ, it's funny. I don't know if you actually would get this with you being colorblind. I don't know if they have a setting for your people, but they have green doors that mean you haven't been through them and that you have the ability that you need to go through them.
Oh.
Red doors mean you haven't gone through them, but you don't have the ability yet, so don't worry about it, which is actually very helpful.
Yeah, I didn't check the settings to see if there was colorblind settings, but I did notice in combat, too, colors were a little bit of a problem for me.
So my problem with this game, I think there's some stuff that sort of I don't know there's a solve for. And I think the first problem is this. I don't think that the Souls games, which are very much about the drudgery, sort of pleasant drudgery of repetition and learning and learning enemy patterns and like grinding through. In those games, you're basically like a reanimated corpse, you know, nothing person. And that thematically makes a lot of sense. I don't think the Jedi or a Star Wars game where you're playing a Jedi is all about like fluidity and being like right and on point and like the most powerful thing in the room, and it's not even close.
I'm gonna devil's advocate a little bit, even though I mostly agree with you. I think in the story, so you start out as a scrapper who is like breaking down Star Destroyers over a Sarlacc pit, because I guess that's how they recycle.
Hey, OSHA, can you get on this one, OSHA? They're doing incredibly dangerous work over a fucking Sarlacc pit, y'all. That's unnecessary.
It's a bad place to work. And I think you could argue that the idea is, oh, you haven't been much of a Jedi in a long time. You are still recalling your abilities. And that's why you have to fail. And maybe there's like a nice arc between you, the character, regaining their Jedi powers and you learning how to like be a wizard in this game.
Right? I get that. I mean, like that, if they were,
I don't think they quite deliver on that.
If they were delivering on that, yeah, like that would be interesting. Right. But it's not designed for, I mean, the Jedi thing is the first thing that I don't think works very well with like a Souls. The idea that you would like traverse these repeatedly is actually not as designed. Like, it's not designed for that, really. Like, there's not an idea where you would like grind on experience on any of this to try to level up. That is not part of it, which is like kind of essential in the Souls thing, is this idea that you would grind through an area to get the resources or levels or whatever that you need.
There's unlockable skills that you can get by grinding out experience, but I do,
but
not,
it's not really not mandatory.
Enough.
It's
you're not going to get enough, yeah, like fighting. You get nothing from fighting these basic dudes. And it's also like not that fun to fight the individual guys, but moment to moment. But the other thing is the traversal that this game has, that sort of like Uncharted Prince of Persia style traversal, is not a good fit for the repetition of a soul structure,
yeah,
where it's like, okay, God, you climb something once and it's barely entertaining. Like, I am not going to, so I'm going to do it again because I died at the guy at the top of it. I'm just going to schlep my way over there with like zero skill or anything. It's just like,
yeah,
mechanically going back up there. It's like a huge momentum killer, in addition to the fact that like the load time was way too long on
PS4
Pro.
When you come back to get through that that Metroidvania gate, you're going to climb that again because there's no like fast travel between checkpoints on any of these maps, which seems like kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll just say, the moment to moment combat just feels off. Like, it just feels, there's like when you first get the lightsaber and people are shooting with blasters and you're just pressing a button to deflect it, it's like, yes, that's
that
good.
That kicks ass.
They've
always
got that loop, right? That's fun. And if you deflect right before the bolt gets to you, then you hit it back at them and kill them. That's fun. But then when you get close enough to a character to actually fight them, they have not figured out a fun combat engagement or a way to make that feel enjoyable, especially when you are talking about like a big crowd of dudes. Like, none of it, it just doesn't moment to moment work.
My big thing, and Justin sort of, we were talking yesterday and sort of clued me into this. Who lives in these places? These places where the only way to navigate to like your house is to jump 10 feet in the air to get there, yeah, and then run across a wall. Like, yeah, these do not, yeah, feel like
these
actual,
are the most video game ass video game environments on
you're
the planet.
Mario, they're Mario levels effectively. Like, they don't, yeah, feel like normal. And I get like design dictated how the levels needed to look, but the problem is it just doesn't feel in the way that like coming off of like God of War, the last God of War game, like these felt like a village that was taken, right, over by like weird elf people, and it felt legit. And here, this feels like, oh no, that's a video game. That's video game. People live here because it's a video game, and it just sort of like took,
yeah,
me out of it.
I think in the same way that Justin talks about the character and the Jedi not being a nice match for the souls idea or design paradigm, I think the Star Wars universe isn't necessarily a good match for those worlds, because the whole Dark Souls world idea is these like decrepit, kind of like knotted, convoluted, almost hellscapes. And it's, yeah, people or things live there, but it also feels very intentionally warped. The very first world you go to in this game is, I don't know, like craggy, but also like swamplands. And
I almost got killed by crabs. Have you ever seen a Jedi get killed by crabs? It's weird.
It doesn't look like much of anything other than a video game level. And there's, yeah, like a kind of like a Gila monster, a giant Gila monster just sitting at one end of the map. I don't really know why. I was really into the second stage where you actually see, I don't know, kind of houses, but you're right, right. Again, it's trying to do that it's much more focused on the Dark Souls thing of, okay, you navigate a little further and then you open a shortcut and that makes your path back to your campfire, or in this thing, it's like a meditation save point,
right,
a little bit easier. And that's the architects of this world. That's all they thought about was like, how can we add really clever shortcuts? Right. Everybody else is like, can you please add plumbing?
It's like, just, no. I honest to God feel like this would have been a great, if they had just done sort of the Uncharted thing, which like we need to maybe, I feel like the Souls like descriptor is like pretty codified at this point. Like when I say Uncharted, I mean like sort of, story focused, cutscene focused things with these action set pieces. For example, very early on in this game, there is a train explosion segment, and it's like, okay, yep, I see where you guys are going with this. I wanted Nathan Drake to just like fall out a window and fall past you and die, and he'd be like, whoa, what was that guy? This could have been, I feel like a really, really, and I'm not done with it. Like, it, you know, maybe it turns around. It is, I will say, getting more fun the more powers I get, which is to say, like, before I got pushed, like, I wasn't really enjoying it. But the problem for me is like this idea of now you have this new power, you can go back to this other world and run all the way, do all the traversal stuff you've already done to get to the point where you can open this door and either, and I don't know if the loot changes at some point, but you can either find a 1/3 of an upgrade for your health or force, or you can find a new fucking lightsaber sleeve. Like,
I got a new cape.
Yeah,
like a new poncho.
All the ponchos look terrible.
They're very bad, dude.
No,
it's like
I like
a garbage bag. It looks terrible.
I want to wear that poncho.
So it's like the Souls sort of game structure, I feel like, doesn't really work without
those
progression bugs.
You also randomly find a double bladed lightsaber at some point, which completely changes the combat.
Well, like, really?
That's one time. You do it. You find a double-bladed lightsaber. Really smart the way they've done it. It's better for crowd control. Yeah. If you press right on the D-pad, it'll just pop the other blade out, and then you're fighting with two.
It's
really
real
cool.
Sick. But also, what I love about that, if they had just done the Uncharted thing, I feel like this game would be would be phenomenal. One, because they could, I think, focus on making that stuff work a little bit better. I cannot tell you the number of times that I have just like stepped down from a platform onto a pipe and just like, actually the game decided that you didn't step onto the pipe. You went to the just the right of it and you did fall. Or, hey, you tried to jump to that rope. Fucking Darth Rope in this game is like the deadliest enemy that Cal has. Like, they could have made that stuff work a little bit better. But like, in terms of pretending to be a Jedi, like, there's some cool shit. Like, the reflecting lightsabers, all of the animations for, like, your lightsaber maneuvers look really good. And the double-bladed lightsaber, what I love about it is the animations make it look like you would actually use a double-bladed lightsaber, which is just kind of, like, he doesn't, like, flip it all around himself because it's two fucking lasers. He's
like
super careful.
Like, kayaking?
Like, he's doing, like, a tap dance routine with a cane, just kind of like... I love it. Like, that stuff's really, really good.
Can I take us all to Conspiracy Theory Corner just really quick?
Yeah, please.
Please.
So I do want to bring up the context in which this game was made. So EA, the publisher who makes this, you know, the people who make like Madden and Mass Effect, or if they ever make another Mass Effect, they made this big contract with Lucasfilm to make more Star Wars games. And they made the multiplayer games, which have not had great launches. And then they had another single player game that was going to be kind of open world Uncharted. That one got canceled. And then there was this game. And it seemed like, hey, this is going to be the big one. Respawn is making it. They made Titanfall 2. And it was, those games were wonderful. They have this game all set. And then Apex Legends comes out. It's a humongous hit.
Right.
They have to dedicate tons of resources to it. And suddenly this seems like less of a priority. And I, while playing it, I get the sense of like, it just feels not prioritized. And again, like that's in the first level where there's just parts of it where it's like, there's no environment in this game. And I'm sure people
I think,
made
but
it
that,
care
but by the time
about it.
But by the time Apex had come out real quick, like... This game, theoretically, I mean, that was in February. This game was have been pretty well dialed in at that point.
Oh, yeah, I'm
like,
not talking about the design of it. I'm talking about the polish of it. This is a game that feels like it did not have the extra month or two it needed for some serious TLC.
But it's super polished in some regards. Like, it's super...
yes, in some levels.
Not in the...
In some levels, not at all.
Here's what I'll say about the game. I am enjoying my time with it, despite the like its like sort of structural flaws. I think that like the core Be a Jedi experience they've crafted is like one of my favorite. You know, second to like the Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Jedi Outcast 2, like the Kyle Katarn sort of series of games. I'm really liking it like a lot when I sit down to play with it, but I also have other like. Three big games came out in the last few weeks, and I'm having a hard time making Star Wars be the one that I like prioritize and spend my time with. Just
like
the EA. Hook. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people really enjoy this game, and I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that we haven't had a good representation of like being a Jedi in a video game for a long time, and that is intoxicating. Like, if you get it and it's decent, like, it's not bad. It's just like, there's just a lot of weird compromises, I feel like, that keep it from being something that's really a must experience.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty good.
It doesn't get the must besties sticker that we're going to be sending out today.
So 8 out of 10 stars. Let's move on.
Yes, let's move on. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about more Star Wars stuff. I'm not done talking about Star Wars. I love... that crazy world with all the planets and the wars.
Some of these aliens, guys, they look pretty wild.
We wanted to talk about some of our favorite treasures from the Star Wars universe. Russ, I have already guessed what yours is.
Yeah, I feel like the Star Wars universe is so deep and so in depth, and I've read all of the novels and all of the backstory, so I know that the most interesting thing in the Star Wars universe is jizz.
Okay, challenging.
This is where the midichlorians come from, the jizz, or how does it work, Russ? Tell us now.
So, you know, in the cantina scene, the famous cantina scene in episode 4, where they walk in and Han Solo's there and
I think
says,
of it as the jizz scene, but go on.
McClunky. So the music that they're playing in that cantina scene is not, maybe you thought it was like futuristic jazz or something like that. In fact, according to George Lucas, it's called jizz. That's the genre of music is called jizz.
And this one's called jizz is what this kind of music is called.
A question about this, because I think it's really important. When George Lucas was asked this, was he identifying it as jizz? Did he give an interview around the time the movie came out? Or more importantly, was this like his final day before the Disney merger? And he was like, also the jazz music is, it's called jizz now.
Han Solo's real name is Shit Dingus. Bye.
That's just how he rolls, man. He's been sitting on that for quite a while. That is not a late addition.
Yeah, it's always been jizz.
Oh, it's always been jizz. I always called it jizz. The other thing is what sucks. I've always thought of it as jizz. Griffin, what's yours?
I am a published Star Wars author, as you all know.
Griffin has contributed to the extended universe.
I'm pretty sure it was non-canonical. I don't think I get a star on the, you know, on in the Star Wars when they make the stars fight. But I wanted to share my favorite little factoid, which is I wrote a story about a Jawa that works on the sandcrawlers on Tatooine. And I was writing it, and in one part of the story, like, it unearths this droid during a sandstorm. You know, just pulls it up from the sand. And so I was writing this segment and talking about how this Jawa named Jot was like digging around in the loam, right? And I wrote the earth beneath his feet, you know, good parted or whatever the hell. It was super good writing, but I don't remember it. And so I was very, very nervous to send this story in for edits because I thought for sure they were going to sort of go through it with a fine tooth comb, and they did. And the wild thing that I learned is they said you can't say the word earth in reference to dirt because they don't have an earth. Earth isn't there. They don't have the earth because it's not there, so you can't call it earth. And I was like, if you're going to be granular about that, there's probably a lot of things that are earth words that, like, I wanted to, like, in retaliation be like, and then the Jawas ate a space hot dog. Like, they wanted to play a quick game of Martian baseball. Like, you can't say that. Also, Star Wars uses the metric system. I used a measurement of feet, and they were like, nope, it's metric system.
What?
Fucking great.
But they
I
have
love
their own
it.
Alphabet. How does that make any sense?
They have their own alphabet. Earth doesn't exist, but the fucking metric system does. Deal with it.
That's how universal the metric system is.
Right.
I wanted to very briefly talk about one of my favorite Star Wars things, and that's Star Wars games that have non-force users in the lead roles. I've often spoken about how that is comparable to being in a game called Save Me, Spider-Man, where you're trapped under a car and Spider-Man is swinging around and you hope that Spider-Man will come save you.
Right.
But I just wanted to take a moment to honor some of these heroes, these non-force users in Star Wars games that have been given a lead role in Star Wars games. First in TIE Fighter, we have Merrick Steele. Pretty good. Merrick Steele. Pretty good. X-Wing Alliance, I want to honor the name of Ace Azamine.
Lift it up.
His name
is Ace in quotes. Is that like a nickname?
Nope. Ace is his Christian name. Not Christian. They don't have Jesus.
They don't have a weatherman situation.
I have a special honorary commendation for Kyle Katarn.
Well, he became a force user.
Right. After they made one, they were like, this sucks. Like, all these people have super Star Wars powers, and this Zingleberry's got a gun. And in the second game, they were like, he just turned out. He's like trying to move a sandwich with his hand, and then it did move. So I guess he's Star Wars too, huh? And then they even renamed them. They named the first one, the second Dark Forces game is called Jedi Knight Dark Forces. The third Dark Forces game is called Jedi Knight 2 because they don't want you to go back and play that old boring one where he doesn't have superpowers. Dash Rendar.
Raise it up to the heavens, Dash.
The worst. It would be the worst of the names if it weren't for... Well, okay. That is Shadows of the Empire, Nintendo 64. He's like literally just helping out Luke. He's basically just like in the background, like when the garbage disposal stopped in that one scene, Dash Rendar is the one who stopped.
He beats Boba Fett's ass at one point, which I think helps. He loosened the pickle jar the Boba Fett pickle jar so Luke could finish beating his ass.
Yeah, he steals
his
jetpack. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Speaking of, Dante got an order, but Jango Fett did have his own game called Star Wars Bounty Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll take that.
I want to talk about
the
name.
I can't picture Dash Rendar at all, but I know he's played by Dax Shepard.
It's like basically the same dude in all of these. But anyway, the last one I want to focus on is the lead character of Force Commander, who is literally named Bryn Tantor. His name of this boring ass dude in the Star Wars with No Powers is Brent Tanner. Hi, my name's Brent Antor. It's Brent. Hey, do you have the Force? Absolutely. Did you not hear my first name? It's Brent. No, I don't have any Force powers.
I'm good at
Bryn
logistics.
Tantor.
I want to talk about Yaddle. Speaking of ticking time bombs that George Lucas left in the Star Wars universe before heading out to like open an art museum or whatever he's doing now. Yaddle is Yoda, but it's a Lady Yoda. She's on the Jedi Council, I believe, in Phantom Menace until... I don't know when the Jedi Council disbands in the prequel series. But what's great about Yaddle now is they've been making more and more Star Wars. They don't have the old EU. So the way they go about writing scripts, so far as I can tell, is they look at things that weren't answered in the previous movies, and then they answer them. Like, how did Han Solo get his name? Oh, he was boarding in a space airplane, and he said his last name is Solo because he's a passenger of one.
His real name is Shit Dingus.
Dingus. But now they've run out of things to answer. And then seemingly all at once, everybody who was working on different Star Wars projects was like, I know, Yaddle. But nobody communicated this to each other. So in the video game we just spoke about, there's an entire Yaddle monologue prioritized very early in the game. And now, I mean, I don't know how The Mandalorian ends, but I can only presume it begins before
spoiler
the story.
Alert.
With some serious Yaddle love action to produce Yoda baby.
Yeah, I guess we're...
That's how babies are made.
I wanted to warn
offensive.
People that we're going to spoil The Mandalorian.
By the time this comes out, like, people are going to know about baby Yoda.
It's kind of a meme.
He's basically taken over Twitter at this point.
That's true.
Now, normally this is where we would answer your emails, but we haven't gotten any emails yet because we're recording this before the show in a vacuum, if you will. But we are going to be doing our Game of the Year stuff pretty soon. So if you have a favorite game of the year, please email us. It's mail@besties.fan. So you legally have to be a fan to email us. It's right there in the name. Email us your favorite game of the year and let's say one sentence, a one sentence argument as to why it is the best of the best of the year.
Yeah,
seems fair.
Yeah, and next year when we get talking about new games and stuff again, we'll be asking you for your thoughts of whatever game that we're talking about that week, sort of book club style. But for now, the one sentence of the goody will be sufficient. And
thank you.
Must be a fan, or you'll go to jail.
Honorable mentions, guys. You play anything else that we didn't that is non Star Wars related?
Nothing I can really, well, I mean, we're doing episodes on the other games that I'm playing right now. I've still been dipping into Final Fantasy 14. I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about that. Probably during the GOTY stuff if we get to Shadowbringers. But that's been like my workout game because it's pretty brainless, I think.
My workout game is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I don't know if y'all saw the DLC that came out this year, The Rise of Atlantis, where it promised you would get to go to Atlantis. So I had not even started the game, played through the entire game, 70 hours, finally got to Atlantis. It's fine. Turns out the rest of the game is great, though. So it's actually three games in one, this DLC. So I thought like, oh, great, I've gotten to Atlantis. And it's like, no, actually, first you need to like, I don't know, fight in Elysium Fields. And I'm like, cool, did it. That was another 10 hours. And they're like, great, 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 great. Now you need to go to Hades. It's going to be the ugliest environment in the history of Assassin's Creed. Can you spend like another 5 to 10 there? I'm like, okay. Sure.
I really just want to swim around like a beautiful fish, man. Is that?
Yeah. And then I get to Atlantis and they're like, welcome to Atlantis. The first thing you should know about Atlantis is don't fight people. And it's like, what? I came here to murder Atlantis. And they're like, no, you can't.
I want to know what mermaids got going on blood-wise, that's who I am.
I have, you know, it's a fun little thing. I never really got into this series, but I've been playing that third Luigi's Mansion on Switch.
Oh,
It's really nice. It's just like nice and fun and like kind of the inverse, like it kind of has the inverse of the exact inverse of the game of Star Wars Fallen Order in that Luigi actually sucks shit and is not fun, where Jedis are fun and cool, but the game parts of it are also thoughtfully combined to make something that really sings together. The idea that like it is just fun to vacuum crap up, so here's a bunch of stuff to vacuum and you can do as much as you want, but like we have thought about how these elements work together, is just very nice. It's very pleasant. It doesn't outstay its welcome. Individual levels are like genuinely very different. Like there's big ideas being introduced at a very consistent pace. I just think it's very solid.
Yeah, maybe we should hold more honorable mentions since we're about to record another episode here in this first block. These first three episodes, by the way, are going to be available, widely, but we should say that this is going to be a Spotify exclusive experience. So if you enjoy the Besties, go head over to Spotify and check us out over there, because that's where the rest of the episodes are going to go.
Or if this one is at first, we have no idea.
We have no way of knowing.
There's just sequential, right? So there's like there's some episodes now, but that's it. The faucet's shut. You gotta come to Spotify to get the next drink. Yeah. So you could probably go. I bet you could find it if you go to besties.fan. I bet if you go to besties.fan, it'll take you right to our Spotify page. That's my theory. I haven't made that happen yet, but I bet I will. If I know me. I probably hooked that up. Thank you so much for listening to the Besties. Thank you to Ian Dorsch for our theme music. Thank you to Spotify for making the show happen. And thank you to you for listening. That's going to do it for us for this week. But until next week, for Russ Freshtick, Chris Plant, Griffin McElroy, I'm Justin McElroy. And be sure to join us again next week on Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
The Besties is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!